Oh, no. Got my name wrong, got his name wrong. It's hard to teach an artificial intelligence the perfect spelling, but, well, we'll just live with that. You guys will probably have fun with that. But this is actually what we've been using for probably the past near on to a year, what we've been streaming onto YouTube for those people that want to have closed captioning. It's real time. And I got a request, and I can relate to this because every day I get one day older. Somebody said, the audio's okay, but, you know, it'd be nice to be able to see the words. I said, we're already doing it, so let's go ahead and throw that back up. So don't get too distracted over there. You'll see a few words that are off, but focus here. Look over there if you have to. Let's start this way. Hold on, let me turn this down because I think the audio is a little hot. Hopefully that'll be a little bit better. You guys can hear me okay though, right? Okay, good. I'm going to start a quote, see if you guys know it. Raise your hands if you know this. The only thing we have to fear is... Yeah, everybody knows that, right? So looking at that from a spiritual standpoint, this isn't a trick question, but looking at it from a spiritual standpoint, how many people think that's correct? The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And again, this isn't a trick question. You don't need to raise your hands, but I want you to think about that. Because there's layers to that statement. And obviously it was said at a time when a nation was gripped in fear, right? The leader was attempting to tell people, don't get caught up in all the minutiae that's going to terrify you. The only thing you really have to worry about is fear taking over your life and leading you down a bad path. Today I want to talk about fear, obviously. And I think it's such a germane topic because if you look at what's happened for the past year and a half, abstract out all the politics, abstract out all the medicine, one of the things that has really struck me with the response of the entire planet, so this isn't one leader, it's not one community of people, but one of the things that struck me more than anything else was the usage of fear in the conversation. And I say that not unilaterally. If you look at both sides of the dialogue, pick any topic you want, vaccinations, masks, economy opening, whatever it is, you see fear thrown out on both sides of the equation. Those people that are for that thing tell you, if you don't do it, bad things will happen. People will die. Those people that are against that thing tell you, if you do it, bad things will happen. People will die, economies will be destroyed, whatever it might be, right? And again, I don't want you to pick a side because I know in this room everyone has a different position and a different side. I know you're all fascinated. I can see your eyes over going, this is fascinating. It gets boring eventually because it says mostly what I'm saying. It's not a gimmick. I hope it's beneficial to those people that ask for it. Nonetheless, the reality is there's two types of fears when we... Oops, I forgot to start this. That's bad. I fear that I'm going to overspeak, which is a serious problem for me. This is not working. I'll just wing it. There are two types of fears that we come across. And one of those fears is good, and one of those fears is bad. And we're going to talk about those two types of fears, because the bad fears really derail you. But the good fears motivate you, and they move us forward. So, first I want to talk about the bad fear, the human fear. And if we're really honest, it's the satanic fear. Because Satan is the author of lies and confusion and division. And he knows that we as people are wired so that fear is a very quick motivator. If I give you an abstract, if you do this thing, in 10 years you'll be successful or wealthy. Yeah, that's good, but it doesn't get me out of my seat. It doesn't get me moving. If I tell you there's a lion out in the lobby, and in 20 seconds it's going to come into the room, you're going to take a different set of actions, right? That fear will motivate you. The adrenaline will start pumping. There's a physiological reaction. You move. You take action. And fear is very powerful, which is why people on the world stage for the past year and a half have used fear to manipulate and lead people to where they want. Originally, we start off with a fear of punishment. If I don't do this thing as a small child, I will be spanked. I will get a timeout. I will lose the toy that I wanted, right? And if we look at how God uses fear, in the Old Testament, you even see it. Think of the situation where he's giving the commandments to Moses on the mountain. And the people were coming up on the mountain, and God gave the command, do not let the people push through and come up on the mountain, for this whole mountain is holy. God sets off lightnings, thunder, amazing works of power, and it scares the people and they back off. There was a fear of punishment, right? That's not a bad thing. Depends on how it gets used. But that's the most basic level of fear that we encounter. As we grow older, and I know you know this as well, again, under the human fear side, there's the fear of missing out. Madison Avenue, which I don't know why we call it that anymore, the people that sell commercials, those ad things on YouTube, TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, kids probably don't even know what Madison Avenue is, they sell fear that if you don't buy our product, you won't be good. You won't be the attractive person. You won't be the popular one. When you boil it down, it's a fear of missing out. Do this thing or you're going to be the loser. It's just another fear manipulation, but it's a human fear manipulation. And finally, what have we seen of late? This has nothing to do with the pandemic, but it's very interesting because it's using the same playbook. Human fear says, are you going to be on the wrong side of history? Everyone that's correct says, this is the right opinion, whatever it may be, right? This is up, this is down. Doesn't matter what the topic is, and I'm not gonna delve into it because you all know topics of this nature. But now it's become a weapon. If you don't agree with this philosophy, you will be labeled as, fill in the blank, a something phobe, a racist, an anti-whatever. It doesn't matter. It's a fear that you're not going with the crowd, kind of a fear of missing out, but it's a combination of missing out and punishment altogether. You will be ridiculed if you don't have this opinion. That's really what it is. Now, that's human fear. What is godly fear? Turn over, if you will, to Proverbs 9:10. And you'll see this. I had thought that this was a phrase that God used only in a few places in the Bible. But if you start looking for it, you'll see it popping up all over the place. And it's very interesting because it's really the phrase where God's saying, no. There is a fear that comes from God, and it's a motivating fear. It is a good fear. Proverbs 9 verses 10. You know this one probably as well as you know, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So how do we reconcile that? We're surrounded by a fear in a world of, if you don't do X, you will be punished. If you don't do this other thing, you're missing out. If you don't believe the way you're supposed to, then you're going to be excluded and ridiculed. Is that what God's talking about here? Because we're going to read in just a minute about the kind of fear that's righteous fear, the fear that comes from God. And that's not it. But if you do remember, and I don't have time to go into it, if you do remember, the beginning steps of a child are twofold. One, they are afraid of disobeying because they know there's some sort of punishment, right? There's a physical fear that starts. And likewise, you saw that with Israel. When God started with Israel in the desert, there was a physical fear of this powerful God zapping them, hitting them with lightning. But godly fear doesn't stay there. That's just the start of the equation. The second piece, and this is really important, is a young child has a desire to emulate, to copy, to pattern after whatever they see around them. It cracks me up. It wasn't intentional. I think we've told this story. We have a baby goat, not a baby goat anymore. We have a mid-sized goat now that was bottle fed, which meant from the day it was born, we were giving it a bottle. And it didn't nurse from its mother. And that goat thinks it's a person. The other five goats go off and do anything. That goat's by our side, hanging out with us. We are its pack. Now, it didn't pick up language skills or the ability to do calculus, but it emulated us. It patterned after us because it's wired to say, I want to be like my parent, right? That's going to be important when we get to the next few scriptures talking about godly fear. You know this one as well in the context of the feast, and I'll read it. You don't have to turn there. Deuteronomy 31, verses 11 to 13. When all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, you shall read this law before them in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women, and children, and the foreigners residing in your towns, so they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God. Okay, you've moved on now to that next layer of fear, which I don't think our language has a good translation for it. But if it were the lightning and thunder, you wouldn't be assembling people reading God's word to learn how to be afraid of him. Instead, what you have is people assembling, reading God's word, learning how to revere him, to emulate him, to desire to be like him. That's the fear of the Lord that God's leading us with. And we're going to contrast it here in a second to the fear of this world or the fear of Satan. Let's turn over to Psalm 33, verse 18, since we're still in Proverbs. We'll see another reference to the fear of the Lord here. In Psalms 33, 18, we see, "But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him." And I could stop there and you say, those people that are trembling that he's going to zap them with lightning? No, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. You can't reconcile a terrified child, afraid that God is going to zap them, who is also hoping on God's unfailing love, right? That's just thinking about how much God loves them and how much God will take care of them. So that's not the kind of fear we're talking about. Godly fear here is that reverence, that trying to find, again, like I said, I couldn't find a word in English that communicates it well, because we use fear in a lot of different ways. But it is that, trying not to use the word fear in the definition, right? Because that's always a bad circular one. That you're worried you will not live up to God's standards. You're worried that you will fall short of your role model. You're worried that in your adoration of him and your desire to be like him, you will fall short and, as we say, sin. That's the fear that's referenced here. A child that so wants to be like their father, they're afraid that they're going to fail them. That's what we should read when we see the fear of the Lord. Now, importantly, because biologically, when the fear hormones kick in and our brains go into a fear mode, all the logic shuts down. We've talked about this before. So it's important when we're assailed with fear to be able to distinguish which type of fear are we being driven by, right? Because again, in both cases, we want something very bad. Logic kind of shuts down and we emotionally are driven to take action. So I want to contrast in the last few minutes that I have here the difference between Satan's fear and God's fear. Satan's fear, in short, leads to a selfish paralysis, division, and dare I say, a death of love. Right? Because Satan's desire is to destroy what God creates. Turn over to James chapter 2, verse 19. And we see a reference to the demons. And it's a very interesting one if you picture the situation in your head. It's talking about faith and taking action. That's the context here in James. But if you read verse 18, it says, "But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds.'" But look what it says here. Verse 19, "You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and tremble with fear." So you have the demons trembling with fear in front of God. But ask yourself, is it leading to improvement? Are they taking action? What are they doing? They're shutting down. They're rightfully afraid of God, but they're not led to action, repentance, remorse, and growth. And I want you to think back again to the fear you've seen over the past year and a half. Has it led people to taking action and growing? Or has it led to division? Has it led to the chilling of love? Has it led to the disruption of a society that we've seen? People have commented that society seems more divided now. Not spiritual people, just general people in passing. And I have to say, when you're swimming in that kind of fear, is it any wonder? Because Satan's fear paralyzes. It divides. God's fear, in a turn, motivates. It leads us to growth, righteousness, and action. So, turn to 1 John 4. You're probably thinking of this because it's the contrast between fear and love, right? 1 John 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. What is God? God is love. So God is driving out fear. This worldly fear that we see around us is the exact antithesis of what God wants. It's the opposite of his love. Because fear has to do with punishment, right? That's where we started this whole thing from. Fear, you're afraid I'm going to get hurt because I took an action. But the one who fears is not made perfect in love. So God's saying, when you have that perfect godly fear, that you're motivated to grow, you grow in his love. And it absolutely pushes out the love of or the fear of Satan. Sorry. It's a total difference. And so you can ask yourself when you're in a moment of crisis, when you're in a moment of fear, say, what is this leading me to? Is it leading me to grow in God's way and love more? Or is it leading me to shut down, to divide, to stop, selfishly focus on myself and stop focusing on others? If it's the latter, you're being manipulated by fear. And we know, won't turn there in time, but we know that that kind of fear is going to be more and more pervasive as time marches forward. There won't be less of this. So as we're preparing ourselves for the day, tomorrow, next week, whatever may come down the path, we have to be able to distinguish between the types of fear that we will be feeling. Again, if it paralyzes us, if it turns us inward and we become selfish, reject it. Do everything you can to shut it off. Keep it out of your life. It's not helping you, it's hurting you. But if that fear is motivating you to grow, to draw closer to God, to come closer to the people that he's called that have his spirit, then you know you're being led by the fear of God, which is a perfect thing. It's the thing that we're meant to be learning and drawing closer to. Wanted to make sure that we could distinguish between those two, because when the time of fear comes, it's not something that you'll have the chance to analyze and figure out. You have to be able to discern quickly how you're being motivated and where you're being led to.